Hello everybody and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You were tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. The show airs every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat After Dark, Lisa, Dee, and Betty Ann.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Betty Ann. I'd like to welcome you tonight to Chit Chat Cafe After Dark. We have some interesting guests tonight. We have a guest. His name is Brian Kano, and he is with Haunted Collector. And then later in the hour, we have Tony Hoover. He's the founder of Redline Tours. They are walking tours of Los Angeles and Hollywood. So let's get started with our guest who's waiting. His name is Brian. Is it Kano or Kano?
It's actually Kano.
Kano? Brian Kano. He's a tech specialist and a cast member on the sci-fi reality show Haunted Collector. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Betty Ann. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Yeah, this is very exciting because I'm a reality show advocate, a freak, whatever you want to call it. I love them. They're my passion. And I really am interested in things that are paranormal, you know, haunted. Not that I have ever experienced anything like that in my own life, but I'm very intrigued by it. And I happened to watch like maybe 2 or 3 episodes of Haunted Collector, and I was like, oh, wow, I have to talk to somebody from Haunted Collector. And then I found you, and I was like, oh, yes. So this is great. I'm really excited to have you on the show.
I love that you say that you're a reality show advocate, because as far as I know, reality shows have taken over all the networks, all the airwaves, and they don't seem to be doing so bad. For maybe in a couple of years, they'll need advocacy, but hold on.
Well, I mean, I think advocate was the wrong word. I chose it.
No, I like it. Own it. Own it, girl.
I'm owning it. Okay. All right. Now, I have to ask you, how did you get involved with Haunted Collector? Like, how did it all come about?
Well, Haunted Collector follows John Zaffis, who is a noted demonologist and paranormal investigator. And this guy has been in the biz for 38 years. He's been doing this before there were TV shows about it, before it was a popular thing to do. And he comes from a family who did it. His uncle was Ed Warren. Ed and Lorraine Warren are also famous paranormal investigator, and one of the most famous cases was the Amityville Horror. Now, John's family now, like his kids, are kind of getting into it. So the show Haunted Collector is about John, his kids, and his family, who I've been adopted. I'm extended family now. We go on investigations, and when it comes to the paranormal, when it comes to hauntings, lots of different things could be the cause of it. Sometimes it's the land. Sometimes it's an actual house. Sometimes it's a person. And sometimes it's an object. And the kind of cases that we feature on the show are hauntings that are pretty much focused around an object or possibly several objects. And if by removing that object or treating it or taking care of it, if it lessens the haunting and it helps the families who called us in, that's great. That's what we're there to do.
Okay. Now, what specifically is your job as tech specialist? Like, what do you do?
I'm the guy who takes care of the gear and gadgets. And actually, I don't even think I answered your last question. But the whole reason I got pulled onto the show is, A, I've been friends with John for many years. And for the past 10 years, I've been doing paranormal investigations, a little low-key on my own with my home team, Scared. And Scared is a series of paranormal documentaries that are online. So okay. It was a good fit because a lot of times, sometimes these objects that we're looking for aren't in plain sight. So I've had to go underneath houses, into attics, little crawl spaces, trying to find and extract the item. Now, being the tech manager, I've got the gadgets, I've got the gears. I'm kind of like the Mr. Spock of the team. You know, I want to quantify, I want to measure, and the way to do it is through all these meters and gadgets and toys, you know, that I get to use on the show.
Now, there was one particular show that I happened to watch, and it had to do with a slaughterhouse. And, you know, it was really interesting. And you used a gadget that gave was able to show you a heat signature. But can you tell the story about that? I think that the girls would like to hear it.
Okay. Well, one of the things that we use quite commonly is a thermal camera. Now, there's a specific brand, FLIR is the company that makes them. They make thermal imagers. They come in all different configurations, but essentially what it is a camera that measures heat. So if you kind of pan it around the room, anything that's hot will appear in a red tone, anything that's cold will appear as blue, and every shade in between. Now, we use this on paranormal investigations because, you know, sometimes, you know, it's very popularized by Hollywood, but you hear about cold spots, and that's indicative of something happening. Oh, a ghost is trying to manifest. Oh, it's got cold in here. While not hard science, sometimes we use popular conventions and try to run with it to see if we can't prove that. So the thermal imagers are there to help us do that. And I got to say, we've actually come away with a lot of, I don't say evidence, but yeah, you know, we've come away with a lot of instances where if we didn't have that thermal camera, we would have missed something or just not really understood what it was. In that slaughterhouse, it's a converted barn. And there was a woman who was living there. I don't think she was even aware that her residence used to be a slaughterhouse, but she had horses, and stuff was happening. She woke up one morning, she went down to feed her horse, and there were scratches across its eye. And of course, you know, this could be, you know, a raccoon or some animal that got, you know, into the pen, but it happened a repeated number of times. Other things had happened in the house, sounds, banging, she heard voices, you know, the whole gamut of activity. When we brought the thermal imager into the barn, this is after, I think, two nights. The first night was the baseline sweep. The second night was the investigation. It culminated in the barn itself and in one of the stalls where the horse had been. And, you know, we're kicking around in there. John tells me to get the thermal imager. Nothing's happening at first. Everything's cold. Everything is pretty much just blue. And you could tell because when you pan across somebody like John was standing there, and I panned across. He's bright red because obviously high temperature. I panned across something, and it turned out to be a knife. But the knife was reading as hot as, say, body temperature. So I said, John, look at it. Look at that. That knife is really hot. Why? And he goes, all right, well, let's go pick it up. I said, whoa, don't touch it. It's probably really hot. When he grabbed it, it was pretty much room temperature. There was nothing abnormal about it. It was neither cold nor hot. It wasn't just like anything else. And I said, John, I don't understand. The thermal imager is working. We've tested it out. We've made sure it's functioning. But this knife is giving off a signature. Why is it doing that? So he takes it and finds out that that specific knife was there when she moved in. It had been used in, you know, in the daily work of when the place was a slaughterhouse, and it was tied into some of the activity that was going on in the place. Now, again, a barn with just stuff strewn about it, if we were just walking around and kind of poking our heads through things, I never would have found it, never would have seen it, just would have gone, oh, it's an old rusty knife, no big deal, because it wasn't levitating off the ground. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't thrown at us. It was just sitting there. And that really comes in handy when we use the thermal imager.
I saw that episode and I was like, oh my God, that is unbelievable. That was just unbelievable. And then after it was removed, there was peace in the barn and the horses weren't scratched anymore. That is just amazing. Absolutely amazing. What is the scariest, weirdest haunted object that you've ever found?
Oh man, this is a tough one. If you do get a chance in your free time, look up John's Museum of the Paranormal. This mm-hmm. guy has an entire museum behind his house filled with haunted objects and things that he's picked up on the cases over the course of his career. Now, mm-hmm. each one of these items has a story. And essentially, everything has a story. But just in my time with John, it's almost like a 20-way tie for a weird, scary object. But one that came out of my mind, we were in a place called Jordan Springs. It's down in Virginia. And we were doing an investigation. And I can't go into too much detail because it's going to be on one of the episodes. But what I can say mm-hmm. is that a lot of the activity that was happening at the place was tied in to Native American culture. So there were certain things and rituals. It was very much the land. There was stuff going on there because of the land. And the thing that got us there was a couple tornadoes had hit during the summer. Now, this was right after that earthquake that the East Coast got hit with last year. An earthquake followed the very next week by tornadoes, three of which touched down at this location. And there's a ridge, like there's the building, and right next to it was a cliff. The tornado touched down and just went in a line along the ridge of the cliff. And you know, this is, to anyone else and to me, I'm like, hey, well, wow, it was lucky that it didn't hit the building. But John's like, no, there's something else going on here. And he figured out something about that piece of land. So turns out we're poking around, culminates into something. I'm being vague on purpose. But that we pulled out, when we go on investigations, a lot of times the items are often very innocent. You can pick them up. They have meaning attached to them, and that's why it stirs up the activity. But every now and then, the item itself, you can almost say, is dangerous. It's almost like picking up a piece of plutonium. Yeah, no big deal, but it's radioactive, and guess what? You have cancer now.
Mm-hmm.
This object was something, and especially because it was tied in with Native American rituals, when Chris and I found it, the guy on the radio said, hey, John, guess what we just found? And we described it. And I've never heard this in his voice before. He said, guys, and the F-bombs dropped. He's like, don't you touch it. Don't go near it. Don't touch it. I swear to God, don't you dare touch it. And I'm like, whoa. Never heard him that adamant about it before. And he rushed out, and he sees it, and he goes, okay, back away. Don't even touch it. We have to get this out of here. I'm going to go get the bag, get the stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get it out of here. And when you see it on the episode, it's this thing that has no business being where we found it.
Oh.
And in general, you know, it's not always a creepy idol. It's not always a dagger. Sometimes these things could be very innocent. It could be a teddy bear. Mm-hmm. It could be a locket. It could be anything, really.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, are you ever afraid when you're on these investigations? I mean, really afraid?
Yes and no. Over the years, I've kind of not that I'm so immune to it, because you know there's definitely danger in the unseen. But a lot of things don't faze me anymore. So something will pop out, something will happen, I'll look at it and I'll go, interesting. And it's funny because that kind of attitude that I've adjusted to frustrates the hell out of the director and the producers. They're like, wow, look what just happened. Aren't you scared? I'm like, no, not really. You know, I've seen it. okay. They're like, that was amazing. I'm like, yeah, it is amazing. And if it was a couple of years ago, I would have, who knows what I would have done. But
yeah,
I don't react because, hey, this is what I do. This is what I'm looking for. And when it presents itself, mm-hmm. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that I definitely get scared. It's just, what do you do with that fear? Do you turn and run or stay and confront it? Sometimes it takes a lot, but you know, you want to stay and confront it because that's the whole reason you're here.
Oh, yeah. Well, can you tell the listeners what they should never bring into their home?
Hitchhikers.
I mean...
Registered sex offender.
I mean, as far as objects, like, I was making a... I put something on Facebook today about...
Anything white after Labor Day.
...at a yard sale and bringing something home. And then strange thing, you know, you could pick things up innocently, like an old doll or... You know how you always see those shows where the doll's eyes are watching you and they're moving?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, there was something on the website. It was so creepy. It was a ventriloquist dummy.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I saw that, I was like, who would even want that in their house in the first place?
Oh, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. And that thing freaks me out every time I guy see it. I want to put a bag over its head. It's tough. I mean, it's like anything else. It's like you have to have your guard up, but at the same time, you can't let it really take over your life. That's like saying, which hotel should I go to that won't give me bed bugs? You know, it's like,
yeah.
You got to go, you got to be careful, but you can't be paranoid about everything. And it's funny, after this season, I started to get paranoid about everything. I'm like, John, you know, we can't buy anything, we can't do anything, like, because there's always this risk. And while it's true, it's not like it's going to happen every time. It's I mean, it's paranormal because it's unusual. It happens only one in every couple of thousand instances. And a lot of times when it does happen, sometimes it's so low level, you're not even aware of it. And even when it does happen, it's not always bad.
Don't you think that you would get like a vibe, like say you're antique shopping, or even if you need to get, you're looking for furniture on Craigslist and you pick up a couple chairs and a table. I mean, do you think maybe if you're kind of sensitive to that stuff, you might pick up a bad vibe from it, or it might just seem like an innocent piece of furniture and you bring it into your home and then, like, you know,
because you're on Craigslist looking for furniture. if you're definitely if you're sensitive, it's always good to kind of pay attention to it. If something feels wrong, you know, even if you're not quote unquote psychic, after millions of years of the human race, you know, crawling up from the ooze and becoming what we are, there's still those instincts that I mean, fear is there to protect you. There's nothing wrong with it. And at the same time, sometimes you get a vibe and you're like, you know, something is not right here. Listen to it. Even if you don't change your behavior, as long as you've considered it and say something happens, you know, you go to that antique store, you go to Craigslist, you pick up something, you're like, something seems weird. And nothing happens for 6 months. And then all of a sudden something happens. At least, you know what, you can go back in your mind and say, oh, you know what, I had a funny feeling about that item. Let me check it out. Let me see if this has anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know years ago, my daughter had this doll that was a clown, and it was a little creepy. And then after, you know, Poltergeist, you know, the clown and Poltergeist.
On that day, yeah.
Remember that clown? Well, they didn't want that clown anymore, so I put it in the attic because I didn't know what to do with it. And then... I ended up getting rid of it, but they were always afraid of that clown until I got it out of the house. So I think it was because of Poltergeist, not because
it's funny,
it really
it's funny you mention that, because when you were asking about items before and you mentioned the ventriloquist, I mean, all I could think of was that doll and the kid throws the Chewbacca shirt on it just to cover its face before it dragged him under the bed. And that's the first thing that I thought of when you said that.
Yeah, that's exactly what that clown looked like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like real long, creepy fingers. It was not a good doll. She got it as a gift, and we really couldn't, like, get rid of it because when the person would come over, we'd put it out real fast, and they could see that she still had it. It was not, we eventually did get rid of it.
Now, I don't know about clowns. Clowns have always been creepy to me. I mean, they just send in the clown. No, don't send in the clown. Send the clowns away. Send in,
I know.
Fuzzy. That I can deal.
I hate clowns. They're just creepy and scary, and I don't know why anybody would even want to have a doll that looks like one. But, you know, now, have you ever been afraid that something would follow you home from an investigation?
I got to tell you, if something has followed me home...
Oh, no. Oh, God. Lisa, shut your ears.
I'm not listening. I'm putting the phone
down.
We're both
like our
ratings
here with the fingers in your ears, like la, 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 la. Go ahead.
Just start doing la, la, la. Okay. You can tell me. I can survive it. Go ahead.
Well, if it has, it'll almost be like that. I'm here in my house, ignoring it. This is going to, if anything ever followed me home, it would be the most frustrated and pissed off ghost in the world because I probably wouldn't pay any attention to it. First of all, I'm a guy, so there's a lot of things I don't pick up on. Second of all, I never do any work in my house. Like, I don't do any EVP work. I don't, other than storing the equipment here, I never experiment in my house because I don't want that beacon to go up and say, hey, ghost, come here because this is where I want to contact you. No, never. And John has actually, John's been over my house and he said, hey, you know, you got a couple of ghosts here. I'm like, John, shut up because...
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
I'm ignoring it, so...
Yeah, yeah.
It's possible. I mean, it happened.
No, I believe it happened. John, this is Dee. I have to tell you, I don't mean to interrupt, but it's...
No, bring
it up. Ahead, Dee.
It really is. My parents lived in a very, very, very old house that actually a woman, you know, she actually passed away in the house. And And everybody knew her as a lovely woman, but she was always a neatnik. I mean, constantly sweeping the porch, sweeping everything. And there was a time, and she would literally slam doors all the time. And I can remember one time years and years ago that we went to visit, and I was upstairs in the bedroom. It was summer. There was no wind, and the door slammed shut. I could not get out.
Uh-oh.
No. You know, and I really, it's one of those, you know, those old doorknobs where you start turning, and it just kind of like keeps on turning and turning and turning. And there was no rhyme or reason why it shut. Now, I was not afraid. I really was not afraid. I didn't think twice about it, to tell you honestly. And I kind of, like, stood back, and I was yelling for someone to, you know, I'm up here, you know, somebody has to open the broken door. And, like you said, getting more upset by, you know, the age of the door rather than thinking something was happening. And all of a sudden, the door just clicked open.
Huh.
And I went downstairs. And I looked at my mother, and I said, did you not hear me yelling upstairs? And she said, you know what, I didn't. I really didn't. And I said, well, the door shut, and I was, like, in the room for a good 3 minutes. I couldn't get out. And she said, I'm sorry, that's Millie. And I looked at her. I said, who's Millie? She said, I truly believe. She said, it was a woman who used to live here. She said, she shuts us in a room all the time.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And she said, she's harmless, and off, you know, and she just went on. And I'm thinking, well, I could not sleep all night long because I swear to you that I heard, like, up above me in the attic sweeping. And so I don't know if it was my imagination playing tricks on me, you know. And I was
now, listen to John. He'll tell you.
What do you
think? Well, Dee, let me ask you, Dee, and actually I'll open this question up to all three of you. Are you believers? Are you skeptics? You know, what do you think about ghosts and life after death?
You know, I'm very open-minded to things like that. I will tell you, I'm not a fanatic about it, but I do believe, you know, and when they say, you know, in the different type of spirit of people who, you know, are still present, whether, you know, it's in a home or it's on a piece of property. I do believe in that.
Yeah, I believe. And actually, what came to my mind when you were talking about that, Dee, I remember one time years ago, my husband and I were looking for houses, and we went into a house, and I went in there, and I was like, I knew. I said, I don't like this house. There's something wrong here. And I looked at the realtor, and I said, did somebody die in this house? And he looked at me, and he said, yes. And I said, okay, we're out of here.
Yeah.
Now, people die in houses all the time, but this house was different, and I was out of there.
But, John, what are your feelings about that when we really, you know, kind of like you're feeling that? It's kind of like somebody being intuitive, you know, about something.
I remember, like, when I was growing up, my parents' house, actually the house they're still in, I remember late at night, you know, I would go down to the kitchen, I'd go grab a soda or something, and on the way back up the stairs, like, you would take your first step, and behind you would be the open living room. And I remember at night, you know, all the lights would be off, and, you know, I'd be hanging out in my room. Any time I would go downstairs and then come back up, the minute I would go up the stairs and expose my back to the living room, I would always feel like I was being watched. And it wasn't even like, it's funny. It was I have to get up these stairs quickly. I have to go because I'll be safe once I get upstairs. And it was an irrational fear. And I mean, this is my parents' house. You know, nothing bad ever happened to me there. Nothing, you know, this wasn't something that I could go, you know, there's 15 people slaughtered here and it's on an Indian burial ground. Like, there was none of that.
Oh.
But I still felt, you know, what's going on? What's watching me? And it wasn't once, it wasn't twice. It was fairly consistent. And it was always kind of late at night. So is it my mind playing tricks on me? Is it quiet and now I can hear things? Or is it just, you know, there's so many different things it could be, but I can't deny that I would always get that feeling. And I've had that feeling several times in places we've gone to on investigation. So I kind of have to put it that, all right, feeling it on investigation, maybe that validates what was going on at my parents' house. But,
wow.
No, I do have a friend. I mean, I have a friend, and it was recently, that really feels like she has a connection with different, you know, spirits. And some, I mean, she said some were not so friendly. Some were very harmless. And you know, you sit there and you listen to the stories and you think, like, wow, I mean, how can this be true? But I guess, you know, no one really knows.
Well, the thing you got to remember about spirits, just for argument's sake, let's assume, yes, it exists, it's real, it's a thing. People are people, and people are going to continue being people even when they're not here. So you're going to get those spirits that are angry, like, you know, they were jerks in life, and they're jerks in death. Then you're going to get the ones that are friendly, and usually it's kind of like you don't get a lot of noise from those other ones because they passed on, they're at peace, they're at rest, they're calm, there's no reason to make a fuss. But the other ones,
right,
stirring up a fuss and kicking things around because, hey, either they can, maybe they want to get your attention, maybe it's for a good reason, maybe it's just to scare you, but even though it doesn't seem normal and it's quote-unquote paranormal or it's supernatural, you know, it's beyond and above, it's still part of nature. It's still part of life. We just don't understand it totally. So there's a lot of fear that's built up around it. You just have to remember that it's like going into a supermarket. Lots of people there, you haven't met them. They'll say hello to five different people. You'll get five different reactions from all those people. And it's kind of the same way with spirits. You know, you never quite know what you're going to get.
Right. It's so very interesting. So interesting.
This is so cool.
What I'm interested in being, maybe you can help me out on this, is what can I wear that will look good in night vision? That's what I want to know.
Oh, he's the fashion expert.
That's why I'm giving that one to Dee, because I know.
If we're going in style. Okay.
Yeah.
My first and foremost concern. Now, it's so interesting, though. It is. It's kind of, you know, I think it's, you know, that saying, the fear of the unknown. But you know, I always wonder, you know, I do believe in that. I really do believe in everything that you're saying. So, it you know, Brian, it's so very interesting to me.
Cool. Well, actually, you're going to get more.
I'm not paying attention because I won't sleep tonight. I'm very scared.
I hear
it. My husband likes to listen to the radio when we're sleeping, and in the middle of the night that Jeff Norrie comes on, or what's his name, or Art Bell, and they talk
George
about...
George Norrie?
What was that?
George Norrie?
Him.
Coast to Coast?
Last night they were talking about paranormal in the middle of the night. I wake up in the middle of the night and they're talking, and I have to get up. I wake my husband. I'm like, you lower that. I'm gonna go have a heart attack, because they're talking about spooks and ghost hunters, and people go in cemeteries and see dead people and ghosts. And I'm like, oh my, I just scared the hell out of me.
Coast to coast, and George.
Coast to coast. Okay, that's it. Have you ever been on that show?
I've never been on the show, but I have met George once at the convention. Very articulate, very nice man. Have not been on the show, not yet. So, George, if you're listening, what's up?
I'll probably wake up one night and hear you on the phone.
I'll be like, and this one goes out to Lisa. This tale is true.
Oh,
this
God.
Is what happened. Are you listening, Lisa?
I'm the type that if I close up the house at night, I run up the steps so fast thinking somebody's chasing me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the exact feeling I got at my parents' house. And it was completely irrational. And, I mean, I've never discovered anything that would have caused that. And back then, it's not like I was a paranormal investigator. There's nothing trying to get my attention. But, you know, sometimes I have to put it myself that, you know what, I probably should have paid attention to that a little more and tried to get to the bottom of it. But, like I said, I don't investigate where I live or any of that, so that still holds true. I'll go over to my parents' house. They're like, "Oh, so how's the show going?" I'm like, "I don't want to talk about it. Let's leave it at work."
Is it still the same house?
Yeah.
Would you ever consider, doing an investigation in your childhood house, or?
Personally, I wouldn't, and mainly it's because, for the reason that I don't investigate or do any work in my current home, to pay attention to it would almost be to stir things up. There's an old saying, I'm not sure where it came from, it's probably like the Bible or something, but you know, they say when you study evil, evil studies you. That's very much
how the paranormal. Yeah, it's like you open the door and let them in.
And it's pretty much raising the flag saying, hey, I'm messing around, I'm looking into things, and if there was something dormant, I wake up. If there's something that needs to be stirred up, I might inadvertently do that without wanting to. So when it comes to that specific instance, I'm going to let sleeping dogs lie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Makes sense.
I will investigate at Lisa's house and stir things up, but...
Oh, no.
We have to get a pair of haunted shoes for Lisa.
Oh, no.
A pair of haunted Jimmy shoes.
I'm sitting here pinning shoes, so I'm not listening to you. Not to be rude.
Yeah, she's heard every word. I know.
She's.
I'm going to have to wait. Somebody's going to have to wait up with me to run up the steps. I don't have to run up the steps tonight.
So pretty much I have to go, while we were in this house, and it was dark, it was 3 a.m., Jimmy Choo, and we got this thing that happened, Jimmy Choo, and that'll get leave for her, right? Am I right about that?
Yeah.
But
so interesting.
The audience will get another taste to more Haunted Collector because we're premiering in just under 2 weeks, June 6th, 9 p.m. on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Perfect.
Well, I'll be watching. I can't say that Lisa will be, and I'm not sure about D, but I know I'll be watching.
I know Betty was looking so forward to you coming on, I have to tell you. That's all she's been talking about for the last 2 weeks.
I know.
She's so excited.
And I guess I really shouldn't like it that much because maybe I'm going to cause myself a problem and I'll start having...
I think you're stirring things up over there,
I'm
girlfriend.
Stirring things up, and I'm going to have those creepy things follow me around the house. I don't know. Or I'll inadvertently pick up a haunted object and bring it to maybe haunted lipstick.
Well, Diana, if you know if that's the case, if that is the case, you know who to call now.
Yes.
Let me tell you, we have your number. Be prepared.
Yes. We'll be calling. Well, Brian, this was really great. We had a really nice time talking to you tonight and getting all the cubes on.
You're actually running all of the lightbulb. If it wasn't for the topic.
Yes.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. It was really perfect.
And you have a really nice voice. We really like your voice, too.
That's very kind of you. I've got a face for radio and a voice for
print. At all. Yeah.
We would love to invite you on again and, you know, hear much more about all of your different investigations. Mm-hmm. And you just know so much about it, and it's so interesting. So we have to say goodbye, but I would like to invite you to come back again soon, okay?
I would love to, Betty Ann. Thank you so much.
Bye. And thanks so much
so
for
much.
Coming
bye.
On. Bye-bye.
Take care, lady.
Bye.
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 How cool.
He was very cool. I really liked him.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh. So I was like, you did listen. I knew you were listening.
I'm too scared. I'm very
no,
scared.
You were
a scary person.
I know. Well, the next time he comes on, we will, you know, we'll hold hands, okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw The Exorcist 3 times but never saw it. I sat with my eyes closed and my hands over my ears the times I've seen The Exorcist. Okay, I'm very scary with that stuff.
No, I watched it once and I would never, ever see that again. Ever, ever.
The voice.
Yeah. Well, he was so fun. Lisa, I know we have one more guest, really fun guest coming on. I think we're going to go to a commercial break right now. And then when we come back, we're coming back with Tony Hoover.
Yeah, let's talk about Hollywood tours.
Hollywood.
We'll see you in Hollywood. We'll be right back.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe After Dark on the Artist First World Radio Network.
Okay, well, we're back and welcome back to Chit Chat Cafe. So tonight we had some very interesting guests. I mean, we started with, you know, how to age gracefully. We went right into how to not make the mistakes in dating. And then to the haunted collector. And alongside of that, we had the hottest what's on trend, what to wear for cheek sheet, And I think it was a fascinating show. What about you girls?
I think it was wonderful. We had some really cool topics. Learned
yeah.
a lot. Got a little scared. Got some tips on beauty, tips on fashion, tips on dating. Now when the guy sent their penis pictures to girls.
Oh, you two, can I tell you something? Out of control. Out of control. It was like any time like the P word was mentioned, you two just started giggling all over
like
the place.
Like little kids.
Uh-huh.
Like little seventh graders.
Oh, I will tell you, it was really such a fun show tonight. What did you think about the aging gracefully? Now, how daring are we?
As far as
aging gracefully,
can
we go all? Can we go
all
natural?
We're not aging yet.
No, we can't go all natural because we're former NFL cheerleaders.
You know. But I think, you know, I loved her products. You know, Cindy Joseph, her products. I love the fact that they were organic. And, you know, it's just kind of like a little recap about, you know, what some of maybe our listeners, you know, weren't really hearing if they weren't with us on the first hour. But no sunscreen. And she hit a good point there is that I think about my grandparents
mm-hmm.
and gorgeous skin. And
yeah, my grandma was 94, no wrinkles when she died.
Exactly. And do you remember her ever slathering on the sunscreen?
No.
No.
And that makes sense.
Makes sense what she said.
Yeah, she made total sense.
She was saying
and her
that
product,
honey.
Boom.
She was talking about honey and products. I've never seen honey in a lot of products. Have you, Dee? I know you work.
There is honey. You know, honey is considered a natural healer. And a lot of times, you know, honey is used for so many things. It's a natural emollient for the skin. Not only that, it's a nutrient. It can be a nutrient for the body. It can be a nutrient for the skin. They say if you are suffering from allergies that you should really buy the honey that is produced in your area because the bees are pollinating from the plants that are local to where you live. And you really will suffer less from your allergies by eating that honey every day. So honey
really?
Is a healer.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, because you'll find honey that, you know, it'll say, you know, blueberry or honey with blueberry or with raspberry. And you don't really taste it. But that's because that's where the bees, you know, they're pollinating from that plant. And it is a proven fact. That people with allergies do much better by adding to their daily diet, you know, a good dose of honey. So for the skin as well, a honey mask for dry skin, it's wonderful. There's nothing more luxurious.
Can you recommend any good products with honey in it?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I'm going to recommend Cindy's, to tell you honestly,
mm-hmm.
because of all the ingredients with having no artificial additives to it, I would tell you that I think I would start with her Boom Moisturizer to begin with.
Where does she sell it? I don't remember. Did she tell us where to get it?
You can actually go online. We have it listed right up on our Chit Chat webpage, but you can actually go to Cindy, her website, where she has a full explanation of all her products. She has videos, she has testimonials on it, and plus she has a full glossary of, you know, the elements and the different additives that are organic and natural in her products listed and exactly what benefits they provide. So I actually think I would, you know, probably start with hers first, especially if you're someone who's going through a change with your skin or you're ultra sensitive. This is, you know, you can't go wrong with something like this.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't. So I thought she was a phenomenal guest, and I can't wait to have her back again. All right, so let's talk about Amber. Go ahead, Lisa. What did you enjoy most?
I think that's cool what she does, giving girls dating advice. I would love to have had that when I was
yeah.
in middle school and high school crying over guys. I always cried over guys, thinking the world was going to end if a guy didn't like me that I liked. I would love to have had some smart, together woman give me a lecture.
So I think it's terrific. I think she's got a cool business.
Yeah. No, you know, and at first it was so funny because when she said, I said, you know, we speak to our, you know, those who have children, and we're talking to them thinking like, oh, yep, you can't fool me. You know, yeah, been there, done that. But you know what? She hit upon a good point. You know, so many parents today did not have Facebook, did not have Twitter. And really, you know, I mean, when I was younger, you know, my mother was not monitoring me on the computer.
Mm-mm.
You know, and right. I gotta tell you, you know, I don't think a lot of parents do. I mean, you know, they're up, but things have changed. She's right.
You know, because even if you're dating, any age, if you're dating, right, how do you know that person's not looking for other people online? They have access to so many people now that it's really, it's hard to trust people because you don't know. There are so many people online trying to pick up other people, so you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're dating, I mean, we're all married and in relationships, but I just know it from people that I know that date. Then they have the other people, they're talking to other people, because you have access to so many, you know what I mean?
And it's so much easier. You hit a good point when you said it's so much easier to say something online, just like we're, you know, when you're speaking to someone on a telephone, and, you know, maybe be a little bit more promiscuous, or maybe be a little bit bolder than you normally would if you were face-to-face with someone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's true, especially if you have a glass of wine while you're online. Then your filter's down, and you hit that button, and it's gone, and then you go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? And it's too late. It's out there.
No, it's so true.
You know?
It is.
I mean, in some ways, it's really good to be young these days because it's cool. You have cell phones, and you have the computer, and you have beautiful, I mean, the styles now are so much better than when we were young. But on the other hand, it's bad too because, like you said, like you know, your
they have so much. They have so much today.
What was
compared
that?
To when we were a little, you know, younger. I mean, things change so fast, and there's so much technology, and so many ways to communicate with people, but they're impersonal ways.
What was that?
I don't know.
A ghost.
See. Did we lose Dee?
Maybe. A ghost got her.
Well, I have to tell you, Lisa, while you guys were chatting, Brian Cano sent me a message that, you know, he enjoyed being on the show. And I sent him a message back saying that if he's ever investigating in our area, that we would love to go along with him on an investigation. But I said you would sit in the car.
I'll sit in the car. I'll stay in guard. I'll drive the car. I'll drive the getaway car. How's that?
Yeah. Okay.
He was cut off. Dee's power went off.
Oh, no. Is she having a storm? Because
there's
storms around.
No phone.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Our girlfriend's not with us to say goodbye.
Aww.
Well, it's time.
There's a lot of storms out.
Time to wrap it up.
Yeah.
It was a fun 2 hours. So we're going to go
it
on a tour of Brian, huh? We're going to have to. If he invited us, we're going to have to go. It would be rude.
Oh, absolutely. Wait a minute. Let me say. He sent me another
message.
We can
wear garlic around our necks.
Oh, I have to tell you.
What?
I've got to tell you this.
What? Did you hear me?
No, Brian just got back to me. And I mentioned to him about the Philadelphia area, and he said he's psychic today. He's got Philadelphia Freedom stuck in his head all day today, and he's laughing. But he said...
Where is he located? Where does he live?
He's located in Staten Island.
Oh, so
he said that...
A New Yorker.
We can even go up there on an investigation sometime. That would be so cool.
I'm driving the car. I'm not going in. I'm telling you right now. And then we're going to have garlic around our necks.
Well, I think as long as you bring your holy water... You have your, you know, religious medal on. You say your Hail Marys before you go in there. You're probably safe. Don't you think?
I'm sitting in the car.
Okay.
And I'm doing it, and it's got to be in the daylight. I'm not doing it at night.
Oh, no. Well, no, I would never. No. I wouldn't go at night either. Never.
He likes us. He likes us, though. He's going to want us to go with him. We can't be rude. We're going to have to go.
Oh, no, that'd be so cool. We have to. We have to experience everything that life has to offer.
Maybe he'll put us on the TV with him. He'll be ghost hunting with former NFL cheerleaders.
That would be a really funny show. Former NFL cheerleaders.
I'll be screaming like a nut. I got to lose weight, though. I can't go on TV until I lose 10 pounds.
We'll bring our pom-poms and scare the haunted objects with our little pom-poms. We're so silly tonight. It's just ridiculous. I mean,
anyway, well,
and I
time
think
to
it's,
say goodnight. Time
yeah.
to say goodnight. Goodnight, Betty Ann.
Goodnight,
like
Lisa.
Corey, our producer. Would like to thank Corey for his wonderful... He's so good to us. He treats us so nice. Does our website for us, and he calls everybody for us. So thank you, Corey. And you listen to
Thanks,
the Corey,
Corey
King Show. Wednesday nights, I believe, he's on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I guess it's a wrap for the week.
That's it. I'm going to have to say goodnight for Dee because she lost her power.
Good night, everybody. Kisses.
Good night. Okay.
Good night.